hop in here for a couple minutes. I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, you know, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
Floosh, you gotta just call a timeout. And I wouldn't even be able to think straight. I would say to my offensive coordinator, are you effing kidding me? Are you serious? Tell me you're serious, Mully, that this is what you want to call.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yes, it is. It is 5 o'clock in the City Beautiful. And on Thursdays on the Spiegel and Holmes show, that means that that man, Dave Wonstadt, is in the building. Hey, Coach.
Cheers, Coach.
Hold on. See, Tandy's not here. We got a hot dog back there working the thing, and my speaker wasn't on.
Yeah,
here.
Your microphone. I know,
microphone.
Bobby. Come on, Robbie. What else you got to do with a hot dog over there? You're hot dogging it.
Robbie walks in and wants to. I walk in and he's standing there greeting me in a hot dog uniform. He puts his hand out.
Hey, what's up, Coach?
He wouldn't shake my hand.
I said, I'm shaking your hand.
Where do you think it's been, Coach?
No. Well, you shake a hand. The guy's wearing a. Oh, God.
Well, what'd you think? Lawrence, I showed him the picture of my Halloween costume.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lawrence. I'm. Alexi and Alexa. Okay, that Grady. That was the two girls from The Shining.
Yes, sir. They were the.
And I pulled up the picture here, and I'll tell you what. You did your wife did good because you really
we nailed that.
When you didn't have the cigar in your mouth, you looked awful close.
He didn't say you did good. He said your wife did good.
She did good. You're right.
Yes.
Well, she was the
Dave,
designer.
If you had to wear a Halloween costume today, gun to your head, you got to answer the question, what Halloween costume would you wear today?
Good question.
Wow. That is a good question. I've gone to a couple of Halloween parties.
What have you been in the past?
You know what? It's been a while. Okay.
No, I just said gun to your head. So you have to give an answer now.
Oh, I got to give an answer now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would be a character. It might be the guy that... That pulled the ball out of the Dodgers' hands.
Put on a Yankee.
In the world, I'd get dressed in a Yankee fan.
Turn your Yankee cap sideways, put a stupid look on your face, and then you could be that guy.
How about this? How about you go as Bill Cowher, and Bill Cowher goes as you? What do you say?
Yeah, we wouldn't fool anybody, you know? That's a problem.
That's what I'm going for.
That's a problem there. But no, it's you know what? That's a good question, Shane, I can't remember the last Halloween party that Jan and I went to where I actually dressed up.
Man. Did they ever at the facility, whether it was Pitt or with Dallas or the Bears, the guys dress up?
Oh, God, yes. No, players did all the time. That was a big deal with them. But I don't think we'd never had anything organized. Everybody was just kind of on their own, you know?
I'm not going to mention any games that took place on Halloween.
Yeah. Let's move on to The Shining. Yeah. Let's stay with The Shining.
Yeah, the Shining was less scary than that night,
yes.
I think, that game. Yeah, no, we won't.
Lawrence, we miss you here, buddy.
I miss you guys, too. I'm getting a jump start on this game because I'm going to be at the game on Sunday.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
What do you think? What's the vibe out there? Give me a scouting report.
Well, I mean, the things have been moving in the right direction for the Arizona Cardinals. And Kyler Murray, and I love the quote from Eric Washington. He said, you can describe this young man as a nightmare because of all the things that he can do outside of the pocket. And he seems to be playing under control. He's throwing for 1,600 yards. He only has 3 interceptions this year.
Yep.
Over 300 yards rushing for Kyler Murray. He presents a unique problem for the Bears. And considering that they didn't do a great job of stopping Jaden Daniels last week, I've got some concerns about this one, Coach.
Yeah, he is. You're right. 3 interceptions, 11 touchdowns, and what, 8 yards a run, I think. 8 yards a carry, right? I mean, this is by far –
from what I can remember, his best NFL year for sure. And probably because he's healthy has a lot to do with it. You know, the receiving core, though, you know, I mean, they use the tight end a lot. I know that Marvin Harrison Jr. Is capable of making big plays. The guy, when you say Arizona Cardinals, that I am just amazed by is my man, my fellow pit man, James Conner, their running back. That this guy is still playing football. You know, I remember talking to the people in Pittsburgh when he was detected with cancer and the leukemia, and he went through the chemo and he was going through everything. And at that time, they said, we just hope he comes out of the treatment well enough that it kills the cancer and he can live a normal life. Then they said, well, you know, that went good. Maybe we'll let him try. And here he is. How many? 10 years? I don't know. What's the guy been in the league? I don't even know.
This is year 9 for him,
yeah,
I think.
9 years in the NFL. And he's the guy they bring up. Well, you got to stop James Conner. It's just an unbelievable story.
He's a tremendous all-purpose back. He's number one in the NFL in yards per reception among running backs.
I didn't know that.
He's seventh in rushing. But yeah, we were talking about him the other day. This is his fourth year in Arizona already. He's already 10th in Cardinals history. In terms of rushing, he just passed David Johnson. He's been a staple out there, and they love him. Gannon said a couple weeks ago that we just rode the back of James Conner on their Monday night game.
That's incredible. Yeah, because when he signed with the Steelers out of college, you know, everybody kind of thought it was just feel-good story. You know,
right.
Local kid, you know, went through, battled cancer, is on the other side of it now. You know, let's bring him in and give him a shot. Everybody in Pittsburgh will like it. And here we are, 9 years later. Incredible.
It's really, like, it's funny because, like, you feel like that story was just yesterday. And then you look up and most of his career is now over.
Yep.
And the fact that as a running back overall, that you could be this deep into a career and still be a vital part of an offense, considering how offenses have changed.
Absolutely.
Is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, people don't want the running backs. They're devalued, is what they say. You know what I mean? And they're not devalued at Arizona with James Conner because, I mean, he's a big part of what they do offensively, in addition to Kyler Murray, as we know.
So Kyler, you know, that offense has had a bunch of real good games, couple real bad games. So, right. With, like, the numbers overall are definitely good. But it's been up and down. If you're trying to deal with him, they're not doing a lot of designed runs with him, but he'll kill you on the scramble. And his numbers passing are really good on the scramble. What do you do as a defensive coordinator? How do you attack a short but very fast and really good on the run quarterback?
Yeah, you definitely, obviously, you want to get his, and this is tough to say to defensive linemen, because you want to always sack the passer, but in some instances, you know, you're telling them, I would tell them, hey, we're not concerned about the sack. Pressure is as good as a sack. We got to contain, pressure him. That's the technique. Contain him and pressure him at the same time.
Meaning that the rushers can't get behind Kyler Murray.
Can't get behind him. Can't take a chance. I don't care how bad that offensive tackle is. The minute that you jump underneath him and think you're going to get an easy sack by going inside, and that tackle pushes you down, the quarterback is gone. You know, a little bit like it is on the, I hate to bring it up, a Hail Mary, but a little bit of that type of thinking. You want Kyler Murray to throw the ball on time, squeeze the pocket, contain it, throw the ball on time.
Well, you brought it up, Coach.
What?
A Hail Mary.
Oh, God. I'm so beat up on this, you know.
It's been a rough week.
Coach, it's been a rough week on me, and
Well, what's that feeling about?
Well, I guess the only thing that I wish Flus would have said, we all know how the players feel in that locker room and how the coaches feel. We know how the fans feel. I guess the only thing that I wish is that he probably would have said, you know what, this kid embarrassed himself. He embarrassed our football team, and he embarrassed the city of Chicago. And that is unacceptable. And this guy, it will have to prove to us that he is fully committed and is totally bought in and understands the importance of every game and every play. And I would have sat him. I mean, I don't know if he's going to play or not, but I But I think just the point of saying that I am, and we know he's disappointed, Fuchs. Don't get me wrong. And you guys know that I'm in his corner, but I guess that's the only thing that I just kept waiting to say, okay, now you've had a chance to think about it. It's not the emotion when you're at the press conference 10 minutes later. You've thought about it. Now, you know, you come out and you say, hey, you know, he embarrassed not just you fans, but he embarrassed our team. He embarrassed me, and he embarrassed himself. And it's unacceptable. Unacceptable. It's really unimaginable what happened, you know.
That's great stuff right there from Dave Wanstead on what he wishes Matt Eberflus would have said about Tyreek Stevenson. If you're a player and a coach were to say that, do you get pissed? Do you understand that you deserve it?
It's a reality. Absolutely. You better, you know. I mean, I think your players and he may have said that behind closed doors, you know, but I think just from a fan and a media standpoint, everything that's going on out here is crazy. It's a firestorm, and I think that would have, I don't know if it would have totally put the fire out, but it would have sure as heck helped.
If you were coaching, is that a moment you and the player one-on-one? Is that you, your DC, and the player? How would you handle that in-house?
You're going to talk to the player.
I'm texting Carl right now.
Right after the game, you're talking to the player. There's no question about that. But then the next day, you know, when your team gets together, that's when I would at least – I wouldn't want this thing dragging into Wednesday for sure. You know, Wednesdays we're on to Arizona. But I would say, you know, this guys, this is embarrassing to – I know you're embarrassed. I know you're mad. But I'm embarrassed. Our city's embarrassed. I mean, we were the topic of every sports station from New York to L.A. for the – maybe now too. I don't know, but – so it's just a bad deal for everyone from the kid on down, I think.
Well, look, that's compelling because it has been a bad story for 3 days across the NFL country, without a doubt. So that's the Tyreek part. How about acknowledging if you're the head coach, would you have, should he have at some point, could have done it today, could have done it yesterday, or the two times after the game on Monday morning said, I should have called a timeout and gotten our stuff together. Or I should have had the corners up on that second to last play. Or I should have overruled on the goal line handoff to Doug Kramer. I should have stepped up and done more, and I'll learn from that. Is that okay to say for a head coach?
Yes, if he believes it, you know, if he believes it, you know, if he believes that he wouldn't have called that play on the goal line again, then he should say it, you know. But if he doesn't, then you know, don't say anything just to keep the people happy.
Well, how about the players? Do you think the players need the coach to say that?
Well, you know, if he doesn't think it's a mistake and he shouldn't have called a timeout and it was okay to rush in the whole scenario, then then you're not going to say it to anybody, in my opinion. You know, but if you do. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying that. I mean, it's tough to do. It's tough on me, and I was trying to remember situations because I've had a lot, you know, screw ups. I've had my share of screw ups. I was talking to my wife about it, you know, about the last. Was there ever a play at the end or even in a game that I regretted? And there's every game you regret a call, but usually it's a call. But this was more. This was a compounded. It was a character issue, you know, and so this wasn't just a play of someone getting not jumped for the ball, you know, in the end zone or somebody falling down or somebody throwing an interception when the game's on the line. I mean, I've been through that before, and you know, you say, hey, you know what, hindsight, we probably should have ran the ball, you know, even. I don't know, but this was so unusual, unthinkable, really.
What would Tyreek have to do for you?
Oh, I would tell him, Lawrence, I would just say, you know what? You it's not just convincing me. You got to convince this football team that you want to be here and that you're going to be accountable for everything we do, from meetings to practices to travel to the game. And when I'm convinced that you're totally all in and this stuff is over with, then you will play again. That's how I'd handle it. Mm. So,
Coach, it feels like a big moment this week. You know, mm-hmm. If with all the players talking And then it was clear that the players were told to stop talking.
Yep.
Right? I mean,
and players, let me say this, players bounce back a lot quicker than coaches and a lot quicker than most fans. So the players came in here Wednesday, and this is only game 7. So they're looking at, you know, Flew should be ponding those guys with, hey, we got our whole season in front of us. We got to win these next two. Then we get into the division and we can win, you know, we can take it as far as we want to take it. So it's not like it was a game that knocked them out of the playoffs and it was game 13 or 14 or something. So, you know, it's early enough. And the players, I promise you, because give Ryan Poles some credit. Ryan Poles has done a very good job of bringing in players that were high character guys. So the DJ Moores of the world and Cole Kmetz of the world, I mean, free agency or draft picks, Caleb Williams. I mean, these guys, they want to win. And so they came in here Wednesday ready to get a game plan and ready to move on. And now it's up to the coaches to carry the, you know, grab that torch and let's go.
Coach, what did you think of Caleb Williams' performance?
I don't think he had a chance, Coach. Every time he dropped back to me, he was getting hit or running for his life. He missed some throws. I'm sure that the pressure had something to do with it.
It was a nice comeback, though, by him in the fourth quarter.
Then the fourth quarter, 100%. The fourth quarter, he was outstanding. But I was trying to take it from the opening gun to the end, you know. So he got better. He settled in as the game went on. But, you know, we got to start better. You know, we're going to get ourselves in a bind with some team that's going to explode. I mean, they kick, what, 3 field goals?
You're right. That game could have gotten out of hand in a hurry had they been better in the red zone.
100%, Lawrence. That thing could have been 21-0 at half in the second quarter. And it's over now. Now it's over. And so we just got to come out of the blocks and start faster as a team. You know, even on the defense, a couple of these games, we start off as good as our defense is statistically, and the guys, you know, we do start off with a little bit of the bend but don't break mentality, you know?
Yeah, it's for sure.
That thing could have been over at halftime. That game, you know, they're looking at it and saying it should have never got to that point.
All right, look, there's been a weird development on social media regarding the accountability stuff with all the coaches. I don't know if folks have seen this or not. The Washington Commanders defensive coordinator today talked about how he wasn't enjoying the Hail Mary because he was pissed about them screwing up and allowing the Bears to score and come back.
What's his name? Yeah, okay.
Joe Witt Jr.
Oh, okay? I know his dad. Yeah,
okay. Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. So Joe Witt Jr. gave apparently an impassioned statement about how he had screwed up and the Commanders' defense had screwed up. And Caleb Williams' father, Carl Williams, retweeted that soundbite with 2 hashtags. One of them, accountability, and the other one, real coach. Those are the 2 hashtags.
I will say, just for background, we are working to confirm whether or not that is Carl Williams' Twitter account. Like, we don't want to say for sure it is, but I have texted Carl.
I thought he's tweeted before.
So I just got off the phone with some people who said that they are working to confirm that.
Okay.
Because it's not guaranteed. He's never confirmed it to someone.
I thought he had confirmed it. Maybe I shouldn't have even shared it before.
No, you're good.
Confirmation.
You're good.
Well,
you're.
And I mean, sharing with the point of the D.C., if that's what happened with the D.C. of Washington, I think makes the point even without Caleb's dad retweeting it.
I didn't see anything wrong with what D.C. said.
No. That's a shot at Matt Eberflus. It's easy to take it that way. It has also now been deleted. So if that tweet has now been deleted. So
makes you feel like it was from the actual account.
Makes you feel like it was from the dad and it was deleted. So because the scary thing with all this stuff that's gone on, Coach, is how do the players really feel about their coach if they're willing to say all of this and the coach is not willing to come out and say it, and it's not just us who's thinking, man, come on, point a thumb, Coach. So you worry about that stuff having a lingering effect with the players if they don't feel like the coach will point a thumb at himself when they're pointing fingers at themselves.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's as much that. You know, it can be twofold, and I don't know. I mean, yes, that could be it, but I think Flew's probably, he's respected enough with this team, I believe. I've seen that he would cover that in the meeting. I just keep coming back to, what were the players thinking when a game is on the line and you're giving the ball to an offensive lineman? I can't get that out of my mind. I truly can't. And I love Olin Krutz, but you know, wow. I mean, you know,
down 5 on the road in the fourth quarter, giving the ball to an offensive lineman.
Yes, yes, and then we run it with Roshan with. Roisin, and he just walks in the end zone. I mean, that's a play you run, you know, like the Bears did with Fridge when you're in the Super Bowl and it's 35-6, you know?
Correct.
I mean, come on. I mean, that would shake me if I was a player more thinking, wow, you know, they really think that was good? And I'm sure when they ran it in practice, now nothing's full speed in practice, so everything in practice is hee-hee, ha-ha, give it to the guy who runs in the end zone. You know, I mean, that's a play you run in practice, but you know in the back of your mind you're just breaking practice up. You're keeping guys loose, but you're never going to call it in a game. I had plays like that, tackle eligible, and a lot of that stuff is good. But some of these plays, and the game's on the line, I think that's as much as anything. It's not the play. If we're up by 3 scores, fantastic. Give him to the ball. The players love that kind of stuff. Everybody's jumping up and down. Your kid's a great kid. But when the game's on the line, that's a lot to put on that poor guy.
Oh, Coach, shit. Did you hear what Shane Waldron said about it?
Yeah, he'd run it again.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me that, like, even with hindsight, like, it's okay to go, yeah, we probably got ahead of ourselves, and maybe we shouldn't have done that. I was shocked to hear him kind of double down on that.
Yeah, so was I.
Coach Dave Wannstedt is with us here on 670 The Score. It's Spiegel and Holmes, another segment to go with the coach.
Including picks.
Yeah, including his picks.
Oh, let me dig in my pocket.
Dig him out, baby. I hope Packers-Lions is among them. That's one of the games we got to talk about with the coach next on The Score. Ready.
Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's just keep listening to Stones. Can we do that?
You'd rather do that than talk about the Hail Mary anymore, right?
I definitely would rather listen to the Stones than talk about the Hail Mary.
Let's move on from the Hail Mary, Lawrence.
Okay.
What do you say?
Pleased to meet you. Won't you guess my name?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Koch. So, on this Arizona defense, anything to really worry about on this Arizona defense? Buda Baker's good. We know that much.
Yeah. Buda, you know, statistically, they're not real good. They're one of the, I think they're 20. The good news for the Bears is they're bottom 10 in every category, bottom 5 in most, 23rd in the league in sacking the quarterback. So they haven't had a lot of success of getting to the passer, which is very good for the Bears. Our offensive line, even though we're banged up a little bit, I think it's a good matchup for our offensive line to give Caleb some time, you know, to throw the football a little bit. And you know, and obviously our receivers, the whole group, including, you know, the tight end, Komet, and the receivers, I mean, that's a win for the Bears against darn near everybody in the NFL as far as personnel, you know. So we should be able to get some good matchups there. We should be able to protect well enough. And we should score points. I look for this to be a high-scoring game.
Well, I want to go back to something you said about this, because I am a little concerned about the health of the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it play out a little bit in the game. And now, look, Amagaji came in, and the pass protection was whew. The run blocking, though, I thought was pretty great. He ended up being the seal block that sprung Swift for that 61-yard touchdown. And now he's hurt, too. Like, it seems like they're running out of guys on that offensive line. They might have to put Nate Davis back out there, Coach.
They might. I didn't realize that he got hurt, the tackle.
Amagaji?
Did he?
Already.
Not on that play, I hope.
No, I don't think so.
No, but yeah, but you know what? That, and that illustrates the point that I've always talked about. If you got young, inexperienced, and maybe lesser ability offensive linemen, the best thing and the easiest thing for them to do is run block. Come off the ball and block somebody on the run. Don't put them out there in space where they got to pass protect somebody one-on-one and get no help and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's that didn't surprise me when that happened. You know, that he was doing well against the run, and then the pass stuff was a little challenge.
Look, I don't want to talk about the Hail Mary, but this whole mess of the week, what happens when stuff like this goes on? You've been a head coach where it starts to turn, and I don't know if it's turning on Eberflus. He survived it last year. It was ugly last year for a little while, and he survived it just fine. Yeah. But what happens around a building when there's this kind of, this much smoke in the media?
Well, I don't think there's, it all comes down to your leaders. That's what it comes down to. And I didn't make any decisions. I mean, as bad as it was on me the last year, you know, those guys, the last game of the season, it's 21-13, and we got the ball, and I'm thinking we're going to get on and beat the Packers. That's your, you know, Super Bowl, your Packers, Brett Favre, Reggie White. And I told the guys at the end, you guys, I couldn't ask you to play any harder or what you could get. I mean, so you can keep the team together. You can lose a game, but don't ever lose the locker room, okay? Mm. That's critical to be a successful head coach. And I got that quote from Art Rooney Sr. when Chuck Knoll won one game with the Steelers, and they wanted him fired, the Pittsburgh people. And he said, let me tell you something. He says, good coaches can lose games, but as long as they don't lose the locker room, they'll survive it. And so to me...
How do you know? How can we tell?
We don't. We'll see with the effort. We'll see how they come out of the block and how they play. And I think they'll play great. I think the character, as I said earlier, you know, I don't know who Flus's leadership team is, but you know, Sweat and DJ Moore, and I'm sure Keenan Allen and
TJ Edwards.
And Edwards, there you go, and Edmonds maybe, you know, whoever
and Caleb.
And Jalen Johnson. You know, you get these guys in there and you know, you say, hey, and who knows what's said behind closed doors? You know, hey, guys, you know, this was boom. You know, we got everything in front of us. I mean, I can come up with enough stuff right now to you know what I'm saying?
Give it to us, guys.
No, I'm not going to get into that. Come on, Spigs, please. I'm trying to enjoy my drink here. the point is that it's early enough in the season. We got the whole season ahead of us. We can accomplish everything that we talked about trying to get done the first mini camp practice. So let's get our focus there. And I believe the character of this team, the want to win on this team, and the relationship that I have seen with Flus and this football team, I don't think it's a problem right now. I know the media loves talking about it. Oh, boy, here we go, you know, on and on and on. But I don't see that. I believe in my heart that that's not the case in that building. I really do.
Coach, how big a deal is it for this team to win on Sunday, and how bad could things get if they lose?
Well, I haven't even I'm not going to give you my bets, but I will. I bet on the Bears to win this week.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
Yeah, it's time for the Four Winds Forecast with Dave Wannstedt.
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go.
Presented by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend.
That was perfect timing in there.
The tree.
Yeah,
we call him Tree. Robbie Triano.
Is he a tree or is he a hot dog?
He's a hot dog, but his nickname is Tree.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make sure that I gave him credit for the outfit he's got on. Okay, my first pick, I'm going to start right off the top. It's the Chicago Bears, okay? Minus one, we're giving Arizona a point and a half out there. Don't worry about it. Bears will win. I'm also taking Seattle over the Rams. I think Seattle is a better football team, even though the Rams are streaky. The game's in Seattle. I like the Seahawks out there. Here's one for you. I like the Giants. Giants at home are getting 4 points against Washington. Washington, there's no Hail Marys coming this week, Washington. So I like the Giants because of their pass rush. And my last pick, and this is not a sentimental pick, I think the Cowboys beat Atlanta. They get 3 points. They're going to Atlanta. I think this is the week the Cowboys show up. I think maybe Parsons comes back this week. I'm hoping Dalvin Cook plays running back. That's my picks.
That was the Four Winds Forecast every week with Dave Wannstedt. Experience the excitement at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, and South Bend. With award-winning cuisine, the latest slots, a variety of table games, and luxurious hotels. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
And this segment with Dave Wannstedt is brought to you by the Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. Right now, a $200 gift card to caller 6 to the Scores contest line. And the number of the Scores contest line is
312-540-0670.
Thank you so much, Tree. And caller 6 of the contest line wins that. From Four Winds Casino Resort in New Buffalo and South Bend, your entertainment escape. Thank you,
Big
Coach.
Big game in the division this week, too, Coach.
Damn right.
Yes, you know what?
Jordan Love looks like he's going to play practice today.
Yeah, we'll see how effective he is moving around. I mean, I'll tell you, that puts a little bit of pressure on Detroit because the quarterbacks are so drastically different. Jordan Love wants to throw the ball 40 times a game, throw it down the field. You know, he's a decent athlete. But Malik Willis, he is a run-pass option quarterback, so you got to be ready for both. So that's going to put a little bit of pressure, I think, on Detroit as far as game plan and preparation and so forth.
They've done with Malik Willis has been really cool.
Unbelievable, Coach. When I saw him play early at Tennessee, when he first got drafted there, in my mind, I'm saying this guy can't play. You know, he's not an effective throw. He's not an effective player. It was a bad pick, but they have done – Matt LaFleur, the head coach up there, has done – fantastic job with this kid. Absolutely, he has.
Thanks, Coach. You're the best.
That's it. We're
all right, done. Buddy. Yep. All right, good. We're good.
I'm out of here.
Soldered by the end.
How about the Jets? Jets being favored tonight?
It's ridiculous.
How's that happen?
That's a little too much of the Jets on national TV. So they need to get bumped out of everything that they could possibly get bumped out of.
Totally, Lawrence. Let's flex them out of the whole league.
Well, we need to do that. I guess Green Bay wins and we wins. We got a chance to get flexed, maybe.
We already looked ahead of that. I think that Sunday night game would be a perfect opportunity to flex in the Bears and Packers.
Yeah, I think we win this week and they win. There's got to be a chance for that. Absolutely.
All right, you're the best.
All right, I'm out of here. See you.
But
that's Dave Wannstedt. He is gone.
He is gone.
Speaks. You know how in the last segment we were talking about that tweet and whether or not it was Kalen Williams' dad
who sent
out the tweet that has then recently been deleted?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shane, doing the job of a producer, reached out, and he's got some information for us after a quick timeout. Mm-hmm. That is next here on Spiegel and Holmes. Don't go anywhere.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on the Score.
What a week it has been for the Bears overall. I imagine there are a lot of people up at Hallis Hall that are like, just get us to Sunday.
Yeah, pretty much.
If we can just get to Sunday, we can start to make some changes. And what a great deodorant it would be for what happened in Washington if they can come down here to Phoenix and do work.
Dude, and I get it. I understand. I understand the listeners who are tired of it. But just because you're tired of it doesn't mean that its story has run its course. And I don't mean from like a content creation standpoint. I'm talking about the effects on the room, the effects on that building, and the effects on a game and the season. And like Wani was saying, you'll know from the effort. Has he lost the locker room? You'll know from the effort. Well, trying to figure out what these guys say and if it means they've lost the locker room. And listen to the players. I mean, that's the best we can do. We don't know exactly what happened inside. The best we can do is listen to them. And then we saw the tweet from Caleb's dad. It really rang a scary bell. It rang an Odell Beckham Sr. bell.
Well, it rang a bell of what a lot of people were worried about in pre-draft.
It's true. Because his dad, very involved in his life and him growing to be the quarterback that he became and involved in the recruitment and everything like that. But we heard from everybody that his dad was not going to get involved and become a problem.
You know what's funny? I actually had an NFL person tell me the person to worry about was not Caleb's dad. It was Jaden Daniels' mom.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
That's wild. That's wild.
So anyway, Shane, catch everyone up. What happened here?
Yeah, so Caleb's dad went out and quote tweeted a Commanders defensive coordinator talking about how he didn't even see the Hail Mary because he was mad because they couldn't finish the game, right?
Yes.
Caleb Williams' dad, his Twitter account, some people think it's him or have thought it's him in the past, but it hasn't been confirmed necessarily. Some people, but I texted Carla Williams and said, hey, what's going on here?
Because the tweet, first of all, the account going way back is all Caleb Williams
stuff. It's all Caleb stuff. Yeah. And the quote tweet of the Commanders defensive coordinator, Joe Witt, was hashtag accountability, hashtag real coach. Assuming that he's saying this is the kind of guy that you would want to play for.
And this is the kind of accountability that teams and parents of players need to see from a real coach.
Right. So I've texted with Carl before going back to pre-draft and just trying to set things up. He doesn't like to do media. He's a really good guy. He's just a good father. He's a guy who fights for his kid. He's a really good guy. He just doesn't like to do media. And he just says it's an innocent comment. I like what the Commanders are doing. I know a lot of guys over there. It's got nothing to do with the Bears. And I believe that to an extent, it's an innocent comment, but it's hard to say that that's got nothing to do with the Bears when what we've been saying all week is accountability as the main, the theme here.
Whoa. So he acknowledged that he tweeted that.
Yes.
So that's an acknowledgement. That's his account. And even though the tweet is now deleted, he is acknowledging that he tweeted that with those hashtags, accountability and real coach. Oh, my God.
Yeah. and I mean, you do get it. He's probably a Washington fan going way back.
Of course he is.
So he probably is enjoying what's going on with the Washington Commandos.
And that
he's probably really into it.
And that could stand on its own.
It could without the hashtag.
Well, but even with the hashtags, you could theoretically dream of it standing on its own as an endorsement of that coach, but it's hard to fathom with everything that's gone on in this circle that you know he's paid attention to, and then there's the fact that he deleted it.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Which is an admission that you didn't want to send it in the first place. That's how this stuff works.
Well, maybe it's not an admission that you didn't want to send it, but that could have been very easily Caleb going, Dad, you're making my life difficult. Can you just take that down?
That's true.
These are sports dads. Like we were talking about it in the last break. We've seen it from Mike Bryant. We've seen it from Kopech's dad. We've seen it from Robbie. Who else was I talking about? I can't remember. We've seen it from sports dads. Sports dads. Roma Dunze's dad, Jaden Daniels' mom, whomever. We've seen it from sports parents in this city. Caleb Williams' dad is a good dude who's put him in an incredible position to be where he is right now, and he raised a very good kid. These parents just care about their kids.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he's not trying to stir things up. Don't be angry about this. This isn't something to be angry about.
He's probably not trying to stir things up.
He's not.
Just gave an innocent thought that may or may not, in his mind, have connected to the Bears thing. And Lawrence, your point is right, that Caleb easily could have reached out, or somebody in the circle could have reached out. I mean, and he said, you know, this is just going to cause more harm than good. And here we are. The thing that we know is that a lot of these parents are in touch with their kids. You know,
that's all that it is, man.
Okay, but you worry that his opinion that he's expressing there is at all informed by his son's opinion. His son yesterday said that on great teams the players lead. You know,
the guy doesn't even know how Twitter works. Like, his Twitter handle is still whatever Twitter assigned him when he signed up for it, Carl Williams. Uh-huh. They just take the first three letters of your last name and they give you 9 random numbers. He doesn't know how the internet works.
Right.
Like, this is okay. This is not the thing to get hung up on. It's not. Caleb is the future no matter what.
Oh, I'm not questioning that. It's just, it's another data point for this mess. That's all. It's another thing that feels messy and uncomfortable and makes you think that some of the players feel uncomfortable, which there have been a ton of indications of during the course of the week.
We knew that already, right? When the captains came out the next day and said, hey, that wasn't the play, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that you add all of this stuff together, and for people who are like, wait, why are you guys still talking about this? Well, partially because there's a putting on the record that needs to happen. There needs to be an establishment of where people are, and fans should know where they are. And I will say that there is something that, with something like this, you don't want it to be the worst possible things that people said about Caleb in the pre-draft stuff rearing its head inside of what he is as a professional. And I think that he has been nothing but professional. I think that he has been a great public face for the Chicago Bears. But it's hard to ignore what some people said about him and his dad inside of the process when this comes up. That's all that I'm saying.
That's a wrap.
Well, I hope they give a great effort on Sunday and they rally together, because that's what it seems like they could do.
A blowout win would be outstanding, mm-hmm. Speaks.
Yep, it sure would.
I kind of only see it going one of two ways.
We'll talk about that tomorrow, preview the game tomorrow, check in with some of our Friday regulars, including Olin Krutz and more. And, there'll be a little more time, potentially, for some Will Venable conversation if we want to do some of that. Who knows what we'll get to. We'll have fun tomorrow. We always do.
I like fun.
I'm in.
I like fun. I think it'll be good. For the Tree, Robbie Triano and Shane, Producer X, Reardon, and for my partner Speak, so you can see inside the show's X account and look at the picture he had for Halloween. I am Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for all of your love and support that you show this show. We will try to repay that favor here tomorrow at 2:00 on The Score.
Tandy's not here. We got a hot dog back there.